Well, welcome back to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and we're going to have us a fine day of study today in God's Word and find out what the Lord says about some things. Today, we're going to go back into our study of the lesson X, X-rated for Christians. And we've had some interesting studies in the past three or four lessons. We've talked about why Christians don't drink. We talked about why Christians don't smoke, and we've seen what the scriptures have to do with that, and we've even talked about why Christians don't gamble. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about thou shalt not drink, thou shalt not gamble, or thou shalt not smoke cigarettes or cigars or whatever you smoke. It don't say that. But there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible where God the Holy Ghost makes it evident that if we are sincere Christians and we're walking in the Spirit, we won't have any problem figuring out what the mind of God is about these subjects. Now, when we get the flesh into it and battling with it and everything else, and then we start coming up with excuses and making scenarios and even calling the Bible, changing the words in the Bible and changing things around and what God's mind is about things. Well, this and well, that and stuff like that. Well, we know what that's all about too, don't we? We want to smoke. We want to drink. We want to gamble. And if that's what you want to do, do it. Do whatever you want to, but you're going to pay the consequences for it because the Bible's very clear about these things. And we're not having this study to challenge the Lord. We're having these studies because we want to find out what God's mind says, and we sincerely want to know what He thinks about things, and we want to adjust our living to it and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. So that's what we're all about, and that's what we want to do. Today we're going to have an interesting study. Why Christians don't dance. You say, why Christians don't dance? Christians don't dance, do they? Oh, me. I don't know if they do or not. I don't go watch them if they do. But I'm sure there's some dancing going on out there somewhere or another. I was involved in dancing when I was an unsaved man, and me and my wife met, and that's how we come together and done some things like that, and knew something about dancing way back when, but was involved in it. But I would probably be probably one of the farthest things from me is to even think about dancing or any kind of dancing now. But what's the Bible say about dancing? Well, we're going to get into that, and if you think that there's not, what is dancing anyway? What's it mean? Well, I just happened to look up the definition for it, and it really don't say anything real intellectual or anything like that. It just says to move in a pattern, usually to musical accompaniment, to do or perform a dance, move in a graceful or rhythmical way. Skip, leap, or move up, or down, or sideways. I mean, there's all kind of that going on. Take a series of rhythmical steps and movements in time to music. Other ones were, listen to some of this. Bounce. Now that's some dancing, ain't it? Bounce. Bound. Dancing. To jump, to leap, to leaping, to spring, or to terpsichore, whatever that is. Now, there's some things here I ain't never heard of, and some of y'all might be laughing about it, and you think, well, he don't know what he's talking about, and you're right, I don't, because I don't know every dance in the world, and I ain't interested in knowing them, because some of them don't even, some of them are embarrassing. And some of them are shameful, and some of them are silly, and some of them are filthy. There's all kinds of names of dances. You say, well, there ain't that many kinds of dancing. Oh, man, I didn't know. I went looking and listened to some of this stuff. There's the... Now, if I say these wrong, it's because I don't know how to pronounce them. Adagio dance, the ball dance, the barn dance, the bebop, the belly dance, the boogie dance, the bop dance, the break dance, and then there's the break dance, and then there's the break dancing, and then there's the break dash dance. I don't know what the difference in the breaks are in that, but there's four of them kind of dances. There's the bump. There's the cakewalk. The caprioli, the ceremonial dance. There's something called a C-Rock. There's something called a cha-cha, the Charleston, the chasse, the choreography, the clog dance. I bet that's noisy. The conga, the contra danse, the condron dance, the country dance, and then there's the country dance, the carante, the disco, the duet, the extension dance, and I bet that hurts, the folk dance, the formal dance, there's something called the foxtrot, the glissade, I don't know what that is. There's something called the grind. I think that goes along with the bump and the grinds. The groove, the heel dance. That's what you do when you get old, I think. The hoof dance. Now that sounds like that. The hoof dance. What's that? Dancing with a cow. And then there's the hoofing dance. That must be dancing with two cows. The hop dance, the jig dance, the jitterbug dance, the jive dance, the kick dance, the mambo, the mosh, the notch, the nouch, the nouch dance, the one-step dance, and then there's the pas de quatre, the pas de trois, and the passo. The pavane, the phrase dance. I don't know what in the world that would be. The polka, the quick step dance. I bet that don't take too long. The rave dance, the record hop, the rumba, the ritual dance. You heard enough? Oh, we ain't even halfway over. You say there ain't no such thing as dancing? Man, these people crazy about dancing. Dancing, probably, good grief. The ritual dance, the ritual dancing, the rumba, the samba, the saraband, the sashay, the shag dance, the shimmy dance, the skank dance, the slam dance, the slam dance, the slam dancing, then there's social dancing, there's square dancing, there's stage dancing, there's step dancing, there's the tango, the tap dancing, there's the tap dance, and then there's the tap dance in one word. I don't know what the difference is. You split the words, maybe it's different steps, I don't know. Thrash, toe dance, toe dancing. And I never could figure out how people can dance on their toes. Twist dance, two-step dance, the variation dance, the waltz dance, the waltz around dance. It must be when you dance around tables or something. The pas de quatre dance, the pas de trois dance, the pas seul dance, the pavane, the pavane, the phrase dance, the pounce dance, the quatrem jump dance. That must be in the Olympics. The ritual dance, the ritual dancing, the saraband, there's the skank again. and the slam dance, social dancing, stage dancing, step dancing, toe dancing, and variation dancing. Don't say there ain't no dancing. Listen to these. They're talking about the break dancing, the caper dancing, the capriole dancing, the ceremonial dance, the C-Rock, the corante dancing, the duet, and here's one, the hoofing, the mambo, all kinds of dancing. I bet that don't even wind it up either. So we understand that dancing is something that human beings are involved in, and they are involved in it as much. I don't know if we went over 50 or 100 of them things. I don't know how many we did, but I bet that ain't all of them. But all kinds of dancing. Now, what does the Bible say about dancing? What does the Bible say about dancing? Now, we're not going to try to find out what the definition of dancing is when it comes to the world. The world doesn't care what God thinks and doesn't care about whether they ought to be dancing. If I want to dance, I'm going to dance. I don't care who says. And I'm going to dance like I want to. And I'm going to dance the way I mean it and how I mean it. So, we're not talking about what the world thinks. And let's not get that confused. We're talking about what the Bible says for the Christian. Whether or not dancing is X-rated for Christians and why Christians do not dance. Now, one of the things that we need to start off with, I think, in this study, is that the Bible talks about, of course, well, not even today. I was fixing to say that dancing has to do with the sexes, which is man and woman. It's the man and woman, the sexes, not the act of sex, but sexes. And you can we talk about that in another study. But the way things ought to be in the relationship between one man and one woman, and the way Christians ought to think about a relationship scripturally and what God's mind is concerning men and women and them being together is in the marriage. Okay, now when it comes to marriage compared to this dance and involving this dance in it, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, the first thing we want to talk about is that dancing is a practice with strong sexual overtones. I don't care what you say about it. Dancing has to do with moving that body, that flesh, that temple of God, moving it. We talked about that on the last study. Moving that thing around in such a way to where it gives messages. It speaks a language. Dancing is a language. And dancing to a music is a language. There's no accident about it. There is definite intentions to moving a body around. Unless, of course, you're dancing by yourself, but then that means something, too. It means you're crazy. But with some of these dances. But anyway, dancing speaks a language. And dancing is a practice with strong sexual overtones, especially in this dispensation we're living in now. In this time and period that we're living in now, just before the rapture and just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to get us, this world has gone wacko having to do with this sexual overtones on everything. I mean, you buy a beer, there's sex with it. You buy cigarettes, there's sex with it. You go to buy a car, there's sex with it. You watch TV, there's sex with every single thing that's advertised on there. Sexual overtones. And when it comes to dancing, dancing is a practice with strong sexual overtones. Now, be it ballroom-style dancing and its intimate embrace or the latest body-shaking gyration bumps and grinds that flaunt the flesh, that flaunt the flesh and lower God-given inhibitions. It speaks a language. And it has strong, strong, purposeful, intentional sexual overtones to it. You say, well, not all dancing. Well, what kind of dancing do you watch that doesn't have, and watch somebody move their body around, whether it be gracefully, as far as, now, we're going to get into that too, but how they're dressed when they're dancing, how they're moving when they're dancing. I mean, when you're watching it, what are you watching? Especially if there's music involved in it. The music is driven to make you give in to certain certain inhibitions. If dancing has any place whatsoever, it could only be between husband and wife in the privacy of the marriage relationship. And the scripture validates that. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all. And a husband and wife to dance together, what could be wrong with that? Except that it be flaunting in front of other people. But the privacy of a husband and wife dancing, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. That should be admirable to the Lord to see a relationship be in such a way. And the bed undefiled. So the Lord says there's no naughtiness or no nastiness in the marriage. And when it comes to dancing, the Lord said, marriage is honorable in all. But I don't think it's talking about going down to the local bumps and grinds place just because you're married and making that an excuse. I think it's talking about in the privacy of the marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And if a man and woman are married and their marriage is honorable before the Lord, they're not going to be desiring to do anything like that anyway. Especially a woman wanting her husband to be moving about like that, and then a husband not wanting his wife to be moving about like that in front of people. That's just not the thoughts and the process of the heart and the imaginations of a Christian couple. In Psalm chapter 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, the Bible says. So that means that it's your responsibility to make sure that you don't have anything wicked before your eyes that you look at that causes your imaginations to go into a wicked scene, that you have wicked imaginations in your mind. And dancing does that. Dancing can bring up some imaginations from the past that you're trying to get rid of and to cleanse. Dancing can bring up a daily thing. Dancing can bring up any kind of imaginations in your mind. If you're battling with old sexual, wicked, nasty things that used to go on in your life and you're battling with that, dancing is going to bring them things back up. And then you're going to have to fight them all over again. Excuse me. So let's look into this and see what the Bible says. But the first thing we wanted to go over was talking about dancing being a practice with strong sexual overtones, and that in the marriage bed or in the marriage scene, Christian marriage and Christian thinking and Christian imagination, before the Lord, there probably wouldn't be anything wrong with dancing. And the Bible does talk about dancing. It does have dancing in it. And it uses the word dancing. But nowhere in the Scriptures does it say, "Thou shalt not dance." It doesn't say it. It's not there. But what it does is it gives us God's mind in several portions of Scripture to see what God's mind is concerning some things that have dance involved in them. And we're going to go over them and see. So the very first thing that we want to talk about is found in Exodus chapter 32. And we're going to read, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture to you and give you a little background on this. This is where Moses and the children of Israel have been, exited Egypt. And they've gone up to this mountain. And Moses has gone up the mount again to get the Ten Commandments. And he's up there for a long time, and Aaron and the children of Israel down there waiting for him to come back. And the children of Israel start getting anxious. And they say, "Well, where's Moses? He ain't coming back, and we've been waiting all this time, and he ain't coming back." So that's the scenario. Now let me read the Scriptures, and let's just go over these Scriptures, and then let's notice some truths about this matter of dancing and see what God says and what it can teach us as far as truths about why Christians do not dance. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1 through 29. Here we go. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me.' And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, which with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables which were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other side were they written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not thine anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, 'Make us gods, which shall go before us.' For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, 'Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off.' So they gave it me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf." And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, and that he may bestow you a blessing this day." A lot of scripture, whole chapter there, but it gives us a lot of truth in the Old Testament concerning this matter of being affiliated with God, the God of the universe, the Creator, our Father, since we've been born again, and we are the sons of God, and being Christians in this dispensation. The Bible says that God says, "I am the Lord, I change not." So God hasn't changed his opinion concerning false gods and concerning all the things that go along with misbehavior and serving false gods and getting out of the way with the Lord. Excuse me. Now, the Bible associates dancing. You heard the words dancing specifically in that verse whenever we was reading that. And that was when Joshua and Moses were having that conversation about what they was hearing. And then when they looked and they actually seen it, there was dancing going on. It was dancing because the people rose up to play, the Bible said. You reckon they're playing some softball or some volleyball or something like that? No, they rose up to play because they had them a new God and new rules. Now, in Exodus 32, 129, 1 through 29, dancing is mentioned here in verse 19. Now, notice the things that are associated with dancing that was going on. I'm going to briefly go down through the scripture, verse 1 through 29, and give you 13 things that are associated with that dancing that was going on. First of all, in verse 4, they were making new gods and worshiping new gods. The dancing that goes on today in society is not to glorify the God of heaven and the God of the Bible that we worship. It's to glorify all the other gods, the devils, the unclean spirits, and whatever else they come up with that comes out of the fire. The second thing is found in verse 6. They offered to these other gods, and they were drinking. There was drinking going on. Another thing, the third thing, is found in verse 8. They turned out of the way, God said. They were participating in false worship. They were worshiping images of calves. That was what they had in Egypt. That's how they knew what to do. In verse 9, the Lord said also that they were stiff-necked. They were stiff-necked, stubborn, stiff-necked. In verse 10, the fifth thing is that God's wrath was kindled because of this matter that was going on and because of this scenario that was down below the mountain while he was giving his commandments, the privilege of a people that he had just rescued from their taskmasters and brought them miraculously to the bottom of his mountain and had Moses, their leader, coming up so he could give them the law and call them his people. And it took less than 40 days for all this to start and to be going on when Moses came down the mountain. That's not all. The sixth thing is found in verse 10 through 14. It takes Moses to change God's mind, who wanted to judge their behavior right away. God said, "Leave me alone and I will destroy them and I'll make a whole nation out of you by yourself, Moses." And Moses intervened for them and changed God's mind. But God's mind was to destroy them. So whatever kind of dancing this was, it didn't impress the Lord. That's not all. Verse 17 says there was noise in the camp. It didn't say music. It said noise. And it said shouting. And the kind of shouting and noise sounded like war to Joshua. That's not all. There was singing going on. That's not all. In verse 19, the Bible says it makes righteous men angry. Moses got angry about that. God got angry about it. And it doesn't say Joshua did, but I suppose he did also. He was the one that took over after Moses left. And there were some certain instances in Joshua's leadership to where he passed judgment out of anger too because of righteous indignation. That's not all. In verse 21 through 24, this dancing caused lying. Remember Aaron, whenever Moses questioned him concerning why he made this calf, and he said, "I threw the gold in and out come this calf." He didn't tell him he sit there and molded that thing by hand. He lied to him. There came out this calf. So it causes righteous men to lie, this kind of dancing going on with it. In verse 22, the Bible says it's mischief. Mischief. In verse 25, the Bible calls it corruption, nakedness, and shame is included in the whole scenario of where this dancing was going on. This probably wasn't the two-step or the hoppity-hop or the blibbity blabbity blibbity blibbity, whatever kind of dancing you call it. God called it noise, shouting, sound like war, singing, makes righteous men anger, lying, and there came out this calf and its mischief and its corrupt nakedness and shame that goes along with this dancing. They were naked, they were corrupt, and they were shameful, and they were dancing, they were drinking, they were singing. God got mad about it. They were stiff-necked, proud, stubborn. And then in verse 26 through 28, it says, decisions for or against the Lord. It brought about decisions for or against the Lord and death. Now, that's what the Bible says. It doesn't sound like the kind of dancing that God would approve of for us. He didn't approve of it there. As a matter of fact, he didn't even talk about it. He said, I'm going to kill them. But Moses talked him out of it. The Lord changed his mind. And in spite of all this stuff, the 13 different things, you better watch out for that number 13. 13 different things there. In that one portion of scripture there that made God want to kill them and kill all of them, the nation. Now, whatever kind of dancing this was, it got everybody involved in it. It made them give up their gold. They was willing to give their gold up. And is get up in the morning and we're going to have a barbecue. And we're going to offer to this new God. You see, why Christians don't dance? Well, we see what God's attitude was toward that, what he thought about it. And we see the scenario of what was going on and how the people got in that condition and why they got, because they got tired of waiting on God. They got tired of waiting on Moses. So they decided to do their own thing. And what did they do? Went back to Egypt. Not physically, but spiritually and mentally, they went back to Egypt and started making their own gods and doing as the world did. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 12, let's look at that and see what the Bible says. The Bible says, at that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus. And said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake. That was his wife, but it was his brother's wife that he took her from. And John told him, well, the scripture says, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, John the Baptist told him, it's not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet, John the Baptist. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him. The daughter of Herodias danced before him, and pleased Herod. Now, you can imagine Herod sitting around on his birthday, and he's being honored, and all these individuals that he's invited to his birthday party, and everybody's honoring him and giving him gifts and saying, oh, Herod, and all of a sudden, here comes this beautiful daughter of Herodias out there and does a dance for him for his birthday. And then it says, whereupon he promised her with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. I mean, this dance done something to Herod to where he told her with an oath in front of everybody, I give you anything you want for dancing like that in front of me. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Go cut off John the Baptist's head and give it to me in a charger. One of those things, kind of like what all your waiters and all them carry around with a thing on top of a big silver platter with one of those things on top of it where they pull it off and all the nice smells of the food and blah, 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 all that stuff. But in a charger, she asked for his head, for John the Baptist's head. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, he done put his foot in his mouth, and them which sat with him at meat, all his buddies sitting there, and he done watched this dance, and he got so involved in this dance with his imaginations and watching this dance that he put his foot in his mouth and let his tongue blah, 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 and offered this girl anything that she wanted for dancing in front of him like that. And he really liked that dance. And what she asked for, go cut John the Baptist's head off and give it to me in a charger. And it said he was sorry about that. But because he made a big promise, he had to go buy his pride in front of all his buddies on his birthday. He couldn't tell her, no, I ain't doing that, because he already said, I'd do it for you. And he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. So John the Baptist, who Jesus Christ identified as, when it comes to human men, there were none better than him. John the Baptist was the best human man that there was. And he lost his head over a dance. Yeah. Dancing was the means of getting the adulterous Herod, that had his brother's wife, to put John the Baptist to death. Well, who danced? A young daughter of Herodias that probably had a body in such a way that she moved it in such a way and seduced Herod and put him in some kind of stinking trance to where he offered anything she wanted and made an oath in front of all his buddies at his birthday party and got John the Baptist murdered over a dance. Don't you tell me dancing don't do anything. Dancing has strong sexual overtones. Dancing can get you killed or somebody else killed. Dancing can make God mad enough to want to destroy a nation. Dancing goes along with mischief and corruption and nakedness and shame. Talking about this certain kind of dancing now. Whatever this kind of dancing is. It didn't say it was the bumps and the grinds and the this and the that and the slam dancing and the shaky shaky and the goofy goofy and whatever it was. It didn't name it. But it said whatever this was, this dancing that was going on, it had to do with nakedness, with stiff-necked people, and they worshiped false gods, and they had a calf for a god, and it made righteous men angry. And it brought about death in that scenario, too, with Moses. That caused death, that dancing, and everything that went with it. And then in John the Baptist, it caused him to be have his head cut off because of that dancing. I wonder what she's going to say when she goes before the throne of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist is standing there. That's not all. So far, what's the scripture told us about dancing? That it's very dangerous, and that it's seductive, and that the body alone can be moved in such a way to where it can cause death, the death of a nation, and it can cause the murder of a righteous man. That's what the Bible says. Now, do we believe our Bible? Yes, we do. That's the truth so far. And it remains the truth, so we stack truth upon truth. So let's move on. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12 through 23, we find another kind of dancing that the Bible talks about. And it uses the word dance. It does. It involves King David. And King David was the good king. He was a good king. And God loved him, said he was a man after his own heart. And God blessed him. And the Ark of the Covenant had not yet gotten to where David wanted it to be, because it was temporarily set aside because there was something happened to where somebody touched it and God killed them, and it scared David and he put it in a man's house, but it was on the way to Jerusalem. So David wanted to go get that thing and bring the Ark of the Covenant, which was very important to him, that represented the Lord, that had the two tables in it, that we was talking about Moses a while ago, had the rod, that Aaron's rod that budded, and had the bowl of manna in it. And it represented God, the true and living God. And David wanted to go get it. So they go back down there, and they get it the right way this time. And the Levites get it, and they pick it up, and they start carrying it back to Jerusalem like it was supposed to have been. They was carrying it on a cart behind oxes the last time, and the oxes pulled it through a hole or something, and it tipped over, and one of the men reached over to try to catch it to keep it from falling, and God killed him right there for touching it. And it scared David. So David thought about the thing and left it in this man's house temporarily. And God blessed that man and his house. And David went back to get it with the people. And he got the Levites down there. They put it on their shoulders with the rods, picked it up, and they started marching back to Jerusalem. And on the way back to Jerusalem, David's standing out in front of all the people, and the people were coming, and David was coming into Jerusalem. And here's another place in the Scriptures where King David danced. Now, as we read, we're going to notice some entirely different scenario going on and the reason for the dance. Was he doing the bumps and the grinds, and was this one of them dances that was going on with Moses and Aaron and that caused John the Baptist to get his head cut off? No, it wasn't. It was a different kind of dancing. Let's read it and see what's going on here. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12 through 23. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obededom." That was the guy where they left it and put it in his house after God killed that man. "And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obededom into the city of David with gladness. There wasn't hatred and nakedness and strife and all this stuff. It was with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So they're sacrificing this one going on too, but it's to the Lord. And David danced. Now get these next three words. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. Oh, there's some shouting going on. And with the sound of the trumpet. There's music. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Now, that's one of David's wives. That was Saul's daughter. Remember, he married her. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing, here we go again, before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Was David doing something nasty? It says he was leaping and dancing, but it says before the Lord. And remember, whenever they were doing it before the Lord under that mountain, God said he wanted to kill them. And he was going to kill them if Moses hadn't intervened. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. These are peace offerings. These are not offerings of dancing and hoopla and sound like war in the camp. These are peace offerings before the Lord. Before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people. These are not people getting killed and picking a side whose side they're on and getting killed because of their behavior. He blessed all the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, all well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. He gave out a whole bunch of something to eat. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. He didn't come home drunk. He came home to bless his household because he had had a wonderful, wonderful day in bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncover himself." She accused him of being out there misbehaving and being ugly and shameful in his dancing. And what did David say? And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. And of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Whole different kind of scenario there. David was dancing. He was dancing in front of some young maidens. And as a matter of fact, he was dancing before all of Israel. But he was doing it before the Lord, even though he was in front of all the people. And the whole scenario of the dancing was completely and utterly different than the scenario that was under the mountain with the children of Israel worshiping another god with nakedness and drinking and all kinds of foolishness going on that made God want to kill and made Herod cut off John the Baptist's head. Completely different. And then had a jealous wife run out and accuse him. And he rebuked her. And God cut her off from having any children, which was an honorable thing. Probably one of the most honorable things that women did. Not today, for sure. Women don't count having children honorable at all today. They're nothing like the the women that, well, the ones that are below the mountain, let's put it that way. But she went out and accused David of his dancing, specifically. And David rebuked her, and he said he danced before the Lord, and he said, I'm going to dance even harder than that, and I'm going to play before the Lord. And he rebuked her. And he said, as far as the maidens that you're talking about, every one of them respect me and honor me for the way that I behaved coming into Jerusalem. And God honored what David said, and he cut off the womb of Michal, the daughter of Saul, and she had no child until the day of her death. So let's go over some of the, like we did on the other one, we went over those 13 different things that we found in the scripture that describe that type of dancing and what the scripture says that type of dancing and what God's mind was concerning it. Let's see what God's mind is concerning this sort of dancing that went on. Well, first thing is that King David danced alone. He danced alone. Another one is that King David danced before the Lord. That's not all. The whole gathering was a time of rejoicing and holiness. The house of Israel was glad, not disgusted or embarrassed or offended with King David. King David and Israel had just tried this in the previous chapter, and it failed because they did it wrong. The Lord smote Uzzah's life for his error, which was reaching back and trying to catch it when it tilted, because he was carrying it on a cart when they were supposed to, the Levites were supposed to be carrying it. And he killed Uzzah. He killed him. So who in their right mind would think that David would have chanced dancing like Michal described as a shameless, vile fellow? Huh? David would have been an idiot to go down there after that first time and God killed him for just touching it, and then David's going to go out and do the bumps and the grinds before the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Bible says that David was afraid of the Lord when he killed Uzzah. He would not have danced wickedly and inappropriate in any manner. That's not all. The Lord nor the scriptures say David uncovered himself. Michal said it in her jealousy over the handmaids. Notice Michal never mentions Israel or the men, only the handmaids. The Lord accepted the sacrifice that David offered before and after, burnt and peace offerings. The scriptures say plainly in the same verse that mentions David dancing that he was girded with a linen ephod. What's the problem? An ephod goes all the way down to your feet. It is obvious that Michal despised David in her heart as her father Saul did. That was one of the reasons Saul offered David Michal for a daughter, because he knew how Michal was, and I might be saying her name wrong, I don't know, but he knew how his daughter was, and he gave her to wife to David to stump him, to trip him up. It was obvious that Michal despised David in her heart, as her father Saul did. That's not all. David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. He also dealt out gifts to all the people, as well to the women as men. Why was David not embarrassed about his behavior? David came home to bless his household with nothing to hide. He didn't have no guilty conscience about it at all. Michal could not wait until David came into the house, but came out to meet him. Michal is sarcastic to David. Michal shows no respect to David as her husband or the king of Israel. David rebukes her accusations and corrects them. David says of the maids, "Of them shall I be had in honor." Michal appears to have been punished for calling good evil. God wants us to know what came out of this, which is, had no child unto the day of her death. It's no accident that the Lord had that recorded in the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, as a lesson concerning this sort of dancing and falsely accusing people. So see, we're getting two different, completely different kinds of dancing here. Immediately following this, the Lord establishes the Davidic covenant. People say what they want about David's dancing, but the Lord never critiqued it at all. Completely different dancing. One of them was out in the open before the Lord and glorious, and everybody was rejoicing. There was holiness and gifts given out. And the only problem in that whole scenario was a jealous wife that falsely accused her husband and that got punished for it. In the other scenario, there's dancing and liquor and playing and nakedness and God's mind to kill a nation and death, and comes to the point to where everybody has to choose whose side they're on, because there's two different things going on that are not the same. One of them's righteous and one of them's wicked. Now, people that attempt to bring David into condemnation and compare his dancing to the above dancing that we talked about, the dancing before, are trying to excuse something they're hiding in their own heart, probably lust. Exodus chapter 15, verse 21, let me read that to you. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." Now listen to this. "And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now this is the first song, and Moses is the first songwriter, and Moses is the first song singer in the Bible. But there's also a first dancer in the Bible. Listen to this. This is another scenario or another place in the Scriptures that tells us a truth of history and teaches us about dancing. "The horse," and this is a song that they're singing, "the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom of the stone as a stone. The right hand of the Lord is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the hearts of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst unto thee, O Lord, among the gods. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now listen to this. Moses is singing this song and praising God. And Miriam, the prophetess, which is Moses' sister, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel, you know what a timbrel is, in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Now you remember what happened last time that woman danced in front of Herod, but this is different. This has absolutely nothing to do with that kind of dancing. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye unto the Lord. Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." Whole different kinds of dancing. It was before the Lord, and Miriam, that was the first one that danced in the scriptures. And she danced with all the other women before all the children of Israel. But she danced in such a way that it glorified God and it followed the song of Moses praising God for what he had just done and saved the children of Israel's life against Pharaoh. You see this? You say, does the Bible say anything about dancing? Yeah, sure does. So you see, completely different kinds of dancing. We started out talking about marriage. There could be good kinds of dancing between a husband and a wife. Sure there could. But all them other kinds of dancing that I read out to you, the bump and the chicken walk and the blobbity blabbity or whatever it was, and all this kind of bumps and the grinds and all that kind of stuff, and the kind of dancing that goes on in the world today, do you really think, which one of those scenarios do you think the kind of dancing would be closest to today? Really, really. Listen to this. In Luke chapter 15, verse 25, the Bible says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." You know what that's all about? That's about whenever the prodigal son repents and goes back to his father. And when he went back to his father, the father rejoiced, put a ring on his finger, put clothed him, and went in and made a big feast, and they started rejoicing, and there was music and dancing over rejoicing that my son was dead, and now is he alive again. Different kinds of dancing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. So, why Christians do not dance? Not a whole lot more to say, is there? I mean, if we just take what God has given us and what the Scriptures have given us in full detail, completely polarities, one on this end, one on that end, one truth on this end, one truth on that end, having to do with dancing. There's nothing else to say. If a Christian cannot figure, if you're still saying, well, I think, okay, well, that's what you think. But the Scriptures made it very plain and very clear about what God thinks about certain types of behavior that have certain types of dancing involved in it. God blesses some of it, but He destroys and hates and despises the other. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not dance. It's not in there. But do you think that God expects us to be wise enough after reading His Scriptures to figure out how I ought to be gyrating around, and you, and who ought to be doing it with, and who ought to be doing it in front of, and what other kind of things are going to go along with it? Yes, He does. And we're Christians. And we care about what God thinks, and we care about His Word, and we believe His Word, and we take it as it says. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not dance. But it does give us lots of evidence of what kinds of dance should be in a Christian's life. Why Christians do not dance. Okay? That'd be enough of that. And praise the Lord. He made it very clear to us, didn't He? And if we think for ourselves, then we'll get an answer. Ask God the Holy Ghost, Lord, which side should I be on? Right? It's a silly question, isn't it? Yeah. We're on the Lord's side. We're on the Lord's side. And whatever we do, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's what we want. So we'll stop right there, and we'll move on to one other. I think we got one more thing that we're going to talk about in this study, and that is going to be why Christians do not listen to rock and roll music. You're going to want to hear this one. And we're not going to talk about, well, you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that. We're going to get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says and what God says about this, why Christians don't listen to rock and roll music. And if you got somebody that needs to hear this, get them in this next lesson, because there's a lot of truth to it. Don't we have a good time studying God's Word, don't we? The Lord bless you, and thank you so much for honoring our Lord today. And I hope He blesses you 100-fold. I know He does. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.